Isn't it good to worship the Lord?
It is, isn't it? And
I was blessed at the way Tim led us tonight, just to worship Jesus. You see, worship, I was saying earlier to Tim, worship isn't the sort of wind-up to the real thing, which is the Word. Worship is the real thing, isn't it? What are we going to be doing in heaven? All sorts of things, but one of the things is we're going to be worshiping Jesus. And if you're here for the first time tonight, I think one of the things you'll find very quickly is that we're a church who loves Jesus. We honor him. And the reason is he's done so much for us. He's done so much in our lives. Well, if you were here last week, you would have heard me speaking about working well. Have we been working well this week? Well, that's good. Tonight is all about resting well. And if you've been on holiday, that's probably what you've been doing in the last week. You've been resting well, hopefully. And I think if we can have... Here's somebody resting well. Actually, it's one of the students on the discipleship training school that Kathy here was involved in earlier this year, one that I was involved in leading. And believe it or not, this is, I think, mid-January, on the Costa del Sol. We wanted to have a social time the first week of our school, and the weather was so nice. We decided we'd go and have a barbecue on the beach and play volleyball, and people went in for a swim, and that's mid-January. I thought you'd like to hear that. I thought you'd be encouraged by that this evening, particularly with the weather that we've been having. When I spoke to Rita, Rita's my wife, for those who don't know, and she's in Liverpool at the moment, that's why she's not with us tonight, but I said, oh, I'm speaking on resting well. That's the subject that our pastor, David Trenier, has given me. She said, really, she said. She said, well, I hope you listen to your own message, which might be a little bit of a giveaway. No, resting well, it's not easy, is it? Sometimes I think resting well is hard work, to be honest, if I can put those two together. Lots of people don't know how to rest well. And tonight, as we go through the passage that I have, I trust God will speak to us and help each one of us, and I'm speaking to myself, how to rest well. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Matthew 8. And we're going from verse 14, and it's page 972 in the Church Bible. Reading from verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. Now when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he carried our diseases. Just before I go on, one of the longings of my heart, and I know it is for many here, and that is to see many more sick people healed. You know, I think we're entering into an age where we're going to see a lot more of that. It's happening in different parts of the world. I'm reading a book at the moment called When Heaven Invades Earth. And it's by a guy, he's a pastor of a church in Redding, California. His name's Bill Johnson. And he and the church, over a period of years now, have seen lots and lots of physical healings. And I think, thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. In fact, he was speaking at a Bible week that Rita and I were at recently in the Midlands. And there were a number of just amazing healings. And I think that's the way it should be, isn't it? We don't always see it. That's the way it should be. My Bible tells me yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. And what he did there when he walked this earth, he's doing today and wants to do more and more of. And my longing is to see that happen in the UK, even Brighton and Hove, even more Holland Road. Amen? Wouldn't it be good to see lots and lots of healings? That's the Lord's desire. And I've never been afraid of praying for people for healing, because the Lord says we're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? There isn't, is there? There's no sickness in heaven. So we can pray for people with confidence, because what's in heaven, he's wanting to see on earth. And we can pray for healing. And we can pray to see those who are bound by the devil set free. That's the longing of my heart. May it be so, Lord, for your glory. Let's read on. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said, Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now, there is a cost in following Jesus. I've been a Christian now for just on 50 years. And do you know what? There is a cost in following Jesus. But I want to say tonight, the price is well worth it. Over the years, I've discovered the price is well worth it. And I don't know whether you've just come in tonight for the first time, or maybe you've been here for many years, but whatever, can I just say, Jesus is worth following. I think those who've been here for many years will know that, actually. But if you've just come in, I want to say that Jesus loves you. He knows all about you. He loves you very much. And, you know, following him won't always be easy, but it's the very best decision you can ever make. Following Jesus. Well, let's go on and look at the passage, really, that I want to concentrate on tonight in verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obeyed him?" As we look at this passage, one of the things we find is that Jesus often was very busy. In fact, let's have the next verse in Where is it? In Luke 6:31. There we go. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And then, because so many were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus was very busy at times. How many have been so busy that you've not even had time to eat? I guess there's some people here that have been in that position. Jesus was very busy, but what I find is, as I go through his life, time and time again, he took time out. You know, we read he went to a mountainside alone to pray. Or he, with his disciples, got into a boat and they got away from the crowd. They went to another place. Or he went up to a mountain to pray. Jesus took time out right throughout his earthly ministry. And I think that's so important. Getting physical rest is vital, isn't it? In our lives, we need to be people like Jesus who worked and rest. In fact, he was just copying his father, because in Genesis 2:2 it says, we won't turn to it, but the Father, he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then it says on the seventh day he rested. And as I go through my Bible, I see that Jesus did the same. He worked and he was extremely busy at times, but then he rested. He had that wonderful rhythm of work and physical rest. One of the things that interests me is that Jesus wasn't somebody who was driven by needs. He took time out, even though there were lots of people around him, even though perhaps there were many more people to be healed, many more people to be delivered. Even so, the need was great. He took time out. He got away to rest and recuperate. And I think we can learn a lesson there, friends, because Jesus was never driven by need. He was led by the Holy Spirit. And I wonder where we stand there. Are we driven by need, or are we led by the Holy Spirit? You remember when people came and said, I think it was Martha actually, came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, the one who you love, Lazarus, is sick." And we read in John 11, Jesus didn't go rushing off. He actually stayed where he was for 2 days. Isn't that interesting? He wasn't driven by need. I wonder about the disciples, whether they were people who were, when they heard that Lazarus was sick, were thinking, when Jesus didn't do anything, Jesus, you know, isn't it time we left? You know, the one that, you know, a friend of yours, he's sick. Don't you think we ought to do some, visiting? You know, we need to visit the sick. We need to pray for them. Come on, Jesus. I wonder whether some of the disciples were thinking, Jesus, listen, this isn't going to go down very well with the guys there. Because you've been in the house a number of times, and we know you love them, but why aren't you going to meet their need? They didn't realize that Jesus was never driven by need, but he was driven, he was led rather, by the Holy Spirit. I wonder about us, and I'm talking to myself here. Are we driven by need? You know, some of us, we can't sit still for 5 minutes, can we? We're always off doing things, doing this, doing that, and maybe sometimes we're driven not by the Holy Spirit. We're not led by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes it can be guilt, can't it? If we don't go, what will people think? If we don't go, are we giving out the wrong message? And so to assuage our guilt sometimes, we go, but actually, we're not really in tune with the Lord, and we're not really sure whether he wants us to go or not. We're just going because there's a need, and we'd feel guilty if we didn't meet it. It's a lesson I think Risha and I are still learning. We had quite a graphic lesson from the Lord, and the Lord's always teaching us things all the time, isn't he? And we had a time, it was some years ago now, but I know that we'd been extremely busy. We'd been involved in ministry most evenings, and then there was one night when we had in together, and we thought, fantastic. We're just going to make the most of this, have a really nice evening in. Can't forget, we might have got some pizza or something. And we were going to do something really spiritual that evening, because we're Christians. We were going to sit down and watch the television. And then the phone rang. And it was somebody that we'd been working with, a friend. And they said, David, can you come? Because I'm right at the point of suicide, and I really need to talk to you. Can you come? And I just had a little check from the Lord. I don't know how I did it in the end, but I just felt that this wasn't from the Lord. This is from the enemy, I felt, trying to wear me out and wear me down and ruin the evening that we were supposed to have together. So I just said, and it took quite a lot to say it, but I said, do you know what? I'm busy. I can't come now. Can I suggest that you phone? I talked about someone else, and they'll perhaps come out and talk with you. And then put the phone down. I don't think Rita believed what I did. And maybe some of you don't believe what I did. But I think the Lord was trying to teach us that actually the need is not the call. We need to be led by the Spirit. See, I think the enemy wants to wear us down and wear us out. Because you know, when we're worn down, we're more susceptible to illness, aren't we? We're more susceptible to depression. We can have greater problems in our lives because we're tired and weary. And if the devil can't make us bad, he'll try and make us busy. I've seen that time and time again. And that evening, I said no. Just like Jesus, I think, when he saw the need, sometimes he said no, and he went away. He went to a solitary place. He had time out. Time for himself. Sometimes it was time with his disciples. They were a bit like family, weren't they, to him? Sometimes it's just right to have time with family and to let the needs around us go begging, as it were. That's a hard message for some of us to take hold of. But I believe it's what we see Jesus doing. Well, you want to know, obviously, what happened with this friend. To be honest, it wasn't the most restful evening we've ever had watching television. Because in my mind, I was thinking, if something goes badly wrong, will I ever be able to forgive myself? But it was a case of trusting the Spirit, the prompting of the Spirit, that I had in my heart over that phone call. It was trusting Jesus in this. And I phoned the person up the next day. I said, did you get in contact with so-and-so? I was absolutely relieved to hear his voice. It meant that he was still alive. And he said, no, it's all right. He said, it wasn't a big thing. He said, I thought last night it was a big thing. He said, no, he said, I'm fine. And I went, thank you, Lord. But it was a lesson of not racing around and trying to meet everybody's need. We need to take time out. Well, what are some of the things that we can do? We can think. Just spend time thinking. Sometimes we don't have enough time to think, do we? Just being on our own, think. We can pray. We can spend time with Jesus. We can read books. I've got a couple of books going at the moment. And one of them is just one of these blockbuster novels by Joel Rosenberg. Anybody heard of Joel Rosenberg? Really good read, compulsive reading. It's the sort of thing that keeps you up at night. It's a very bad book. It's kept me up a few nights recently. I say one more chapter and then I get one more chapter. It's that sort of book. But it's a great way to rest and relax. Listening to music, watching TV, going for a walk. Those are some of the ways we can rest and relax, and it's good. Do you know, I don't know if anybody else has been like me, but sometimes I'll just sit down and watch TV, and then there's a little voice in my head. What are you doing watching TV? You should be making better use of this time. Isn't there something you should be doing right now? What are you doing frittering away your time? This is not good. And it's so easy to listen to that voice. And sometimes, I think we can do these things. We can watch television. We can relax. And yet we don't fully enjoy the rest because we feel guilty. And tonight, I want to say, don't listen to the lies of the enemy who just wants to drive us. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's watch TV, good TV, not the rubbish that, is on some of the channels, but let's watch it and let's relax and enjoy it and know the refreshment that comes of enjoying a good program or a good film or whatever. I quite like going to the cinema. I know that suddenly, you think, oh, I thought you was a Christian, but... if you haven't seen Mamma Mia, go and see Mamma Mia for a good laugh. I think it's a great movie. And sadly, Mum and I are into Last Choir Standing. I don't know how many others are. I know it's a sad program, but we really enjoy it, don't we? And it's a way of resting and relaxing. Let's allow the Lord to lead us into rhythms of work and rest, and not the enemy, through guilt, through being driven by him. Jesus wasn't, and we shouldn't. Well, Jesus, they got into a boat. Obviously, in verse 18, let's go back to verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Things were getting a bit too much. It was time to move on, to have a bit of a rest. And just before they did that, this teacher came along and asked him a question. I was saying, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, well, there's a price to pay if you do. And then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. I want to come back to the storm in just a minute, but I love that little phrase, Jesus was sleeping in the storm. And if we're talking about rest, we have to talk about sleep, don't we? Because that's very much part of resting. And it seemed that Jesus was the sort of person that could sleep anywhere and at any time. Anyone else like that? You just put your head down and it's like turning off a switch. And if you are, the rest of us are really envious of you. Because I know that for some of us, it takes an hour or two before we get to sleep. But sleep is important. And there's a scripture that I've looked at in Psalm 127, verse 2. And it says this: "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." Sleep is a gift of God, and for those who don't sleep well, I know, you know, it's very wearing. And one of the things that I just had in my heart tonight, if you're not sleeping well, then get somebody to pray with you. Because I believe the Lord wants to break through that bad sleeping pattern and give you the sleep that you need for the energy and vitality of serving God. I'll be here, but you don't have to come to me. You can turn to anybody and just say, "Would you pray for me tonight?" You see, I believe there's faith when the word is given. Jesus not only spoke the word, but he actually did the word, didn't he? It was both. And he spoke with authority, and then he ministered. And this whole area of sleep, as it's come up, I think, you know, there's grace tonight, there's faith tonight to pray for those who have bad sleeping patterns. If that's you, get somebody to pray with you. Let's believe God. That's another area, you see. I believe the enemy wants to rob us. He wants to rob us of sleep. He came to steal, kill, and destroy, we read in John 10:10. And for many, he's stolen sleep. Some for many years, actually. And we need to take our authority against him and say, "Enough is enough. We refuse to allow you to do that." It's vain to rise early and to stay up late. All I want to say on this before we move on, because of time, we shouldn't burn the candle at both ends. Let's be wise. And I don't know whether it's a young people thing. I don't think it is, because I have a little bit of a problem here. You know, come nighttime, I should be going to bed, and yet I think, well, I'll just do that. Maybe it's a computer game. Maybe it's just working on the computer. Maybe it's just reading, but we read way beyond the time we should. And actually, we plan to go to bed, say, at 11, and it ends up being midnight or 1. And then we've got to get up early. And all I'm saying is here to myself and to you, let's ask the Lord to help us to be disciplined in this area. Because sometimes we just get worn out, basically because we're not very disciplined about getting to bed on time. And I don't know, for some of you, that might not be a problem. You get to bed at 9 o'clock every night. Praise God if you do. Come and tell me how you do it, if you've managed it. But you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we can just let the time go and we actually don't get the sleep that we need. I think the Lord is saying, don't try and burn the candle at both ends. Let's move on. Let me go back to verse 24. "Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. And the disciples woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.'" I think Tim was saying this morning, you know, we're not immune as Christians to trouble in life, are we? In fact, it says, in the world you will have tribulation. And I appreciated the word that Tim brought this morning. We're not you know, exempt from the troubles of life. But it's interesting, when the storms come, how do we cope? How do we cope with the storms of life? You see, I see two things here. And the storms of life, well, I'll let you, you know, think through. What are the storms in your life? In other words, what are the things that are keeping you from being able to rest well? Because we talked about physical rest, but In a sense, now I want to talk a little bit more about inner rest. Because we can have lots of physical rest, sitting still and physically being relaxed, but actually we're not rested in our spirits, are we? We don't have inner rest. Here I see Jesus, he didn't only take time out, but he also had inner rest. He could rest even when there were storms around him. And here we see two reactions. The disciples, absolutely terrified, and Jesus, very much at rest. I think that's interesting. And in a moment, I want us to have a look at the difference between the two. But let me just come back to this. I don't know what storms you're going through, but I'm sure there are many of us going through storms here. And they might be work storms, things going on at work. It might be marriage, financial storms. There might be all sorts of things that are keeping you awake at night. Things that you just know you're not rested in your spirit. And I want to say, firstly, before I go on, that Jesus is not unaware of your situation. He knows. Jesus knows what is going on in our lives. He loves us. He's for us. And he's well aware of the things that we're facing. But here we see the two reactions. And I want to say tonight that I think the difference between the reaction of Jesus and the reaction of the disciples is this. Notice, going back to verse 18, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. You see, Jesus had heard from his Father that they were to cross over to the other side of the lake. They weren't going to the bottom of the lake, they were going to the other side of the lake. See, Jesus knew that because he only did anything that the Father showed him to do. He knew that whatever the storm was, they weren't going to sink, they were going to get to the other side. And he actually communicated that to the disciples. We see it there in verse 18. He said to them, come, let us go to the other side of the lake. So they heard the word from Jesus. Jesus had heard the word from Father, and he believed him. The disciples heard the word from Jesus. But actually, their problem was they didn't believe him. Because if they did, they wouldn't have been so terrified. And that's why Jesus, we see in this scripture, he said to them, O you of little faith, why are you so afraid? You see, the problem for them was they didn't believe the word of Jesus. And you know, for some of us, we are going through things, and I think what the Lord wants me to do tonight is say, you know, whatever you're going through, has the Lord, even before the storm came, said things to you? Has he encouraged you with things? Has there been scriptures that have been for you the now word of God that you can say, wow, this is for me. I know God has spoken. Have there been those words before this storm suddenly came up? And these things, Tim was saying the same this morning, wasn't he? Sometimes these things, these problems, they happen just like that, right out of the blue. We weren't expecting it. Wham! We're hit with something. When these times come, can I encourage us to look back and say, Lord, what have you said in the past that can help me through the present? Because if we can take hold of what Jesus has said, that will help us to respond in a way of being at peace and rest. Doesn't matter what's happening, we go back and say, no, this is what Jesus said. Lord, I believe you. The enemy's trying to come in with fear. The enemy's trying to come in and shake my faith. But this is what you said, Lord. I believe you. Sometimes it's good just to speak it out and say, Lord, I know I'm in this very stormy situation, this difficult situation, but this is what you've said, Lord. I believe you. And I'm not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. And if we can take hold of God's word and say, I believe it, that will help us to be like Jesus. Even though there's a storm, we're pretty much at rest because we don't know how it's going to work out, but we know it is going to work out because Jesus is true to his word. I think we've all had times where we've really had to take hold of God's word and say, Lord, all the circumstances would say your word isn't true, but I'm going to put my trust firmly in you, and the Lord will take us through. I know for some people tonight, you know, for you, you are in difficult circumstances and you've got hold of God's word, and that word is such a comfort to you, you are at rest and you do sleep at night and praise God. But the Lord wants all of us to take hold of God's word, of his word, and say, Lord, you've spoken it, I believe it, and that settles it. You might say to me, David, well, I don't feel I've got any word. I'm in a very difficult situation. I don't feel I've got any word from the Lord in this situation. I am troubled. I'm not at rest. I have all sorts of worries and concerns. Then can I say, again, the Lord knows. Talk to him and say, Lord, I need a word from you in this situation that's going to help me through. Would you speak a word into my heart so I can take hold of it? And that word be my strength and bring a sense of peace and take me through. I know for myself, time and time again, I've been in difficult situations. I've been quite troubled. And I've said, Lord, I need to hear from you. And then as I've read, or it's been somebody coming alongside with the word, but God has spoken a now word into my situation. And I can remember suddenly, thank you, Lord. I really needed to hear that word. And suddenly, I just feel a lot lighter. And I feel my whole body beginning to rest because of the word of the Lord that's come. So ask the Lord, and as you do, he will give you a word. And again tonight, if you feel you need a word from the Lord, come and stand with, get with somebody and say, would you pray for me? I need to hear God speak into this situation. And I'm not saying this person will give you a word, but you'll agree together that God will speak directly. Because when God speaks, that's what I understand from this passage, when the Lord speaks something, we can be at rest in the midst of the storm. That's inner rest, physical and inner rest. The Lord wants us to have both. That's when we rest well. Three things that God placed on my heart, and then I'm going to close, about resting well. One is, I felt tonight that there it is someone, and you know you're not resting well, and the Lord is saying it's a matter of forgiveness. You know, if we haven't forgiven people, we are not going to be able to rest well. And I haven't got the time to go into that, but we see stories of Jesus that indicate that if we're not forgiving others, we're not going to be able to rest well. If you haven't forgiven someone, then can I encourage you tonight Take that step, however hard it is, because if we don't forgive, we're the people that suffer. And I know that as we forgive, we'll know a new rest come into our lives. Secondly, I feel that the Lord said, there's just someone here and you've got a secret. It's a guilty secret. It's something that doesn't let you rest. Somebody once said, there's a secret in his breast that will not let him rest. Maybe there's something, you know, someone here tonight, I think there is, and you know there's something, you just need to bring it out into the open. Part of you, you're just terrified somebody's going to find out, and you can't rest. And the Lord is saying tonight for you, rest is right there as you come and as you bring that into the open. And lastly, I just felt, again, I don't know who, but someone, you know you're overcommitted and you can't see any way out. And there is a way out. You know, this treadmill you're on is something that the Lord is saying, I want to break that cycle. I can help you out of that. You know, sometimes we get into such do you understand what I mean by a hurried spirit? You just, everything, you've got to do it at breakneck speed because you've always got more to do than you've got time to do. And it's just driving you. And the Lord is saying, I don't want you to be driven any longer. I want you to be led by my Spirit. If any of those apply, then talk to somebody before we leave. But resting well, physical rest and inner rest. Jesus knew both. May as we go into this week, the Lord help us to rest well. Let's pray together. Jesus. Lord, we just come and we just want to be quiet for a moment, Lord, before you. I want to be quiet, Lord, just so that things that you've spoken to my heart about resting well, Lord, would you underline for each one of us, Lord, what you've spoken to us tonight, what we know is of you, would you underline it in our hearts tonight? Would you help us, Lord, to rest well? For those of us, Lord, that are struggling with things, feel we're right in the midst of a storm at the moment, I pray, Lord, that your word would be something that we can take hold of in a fresh way and hold on to that word. Say, Lord, despite the storm, I know you've spoken and your word is true. And help us even to come to a place of rest, Lord, in the storm. Would you take us through? Keep us from the pitfalls of the enemy who just wants to wear us down and wear us out. Lord, may we, as a people here, be people who know what it is to work well and know what it is to rest well and to do those things for your glory and for your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.